Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm trying to think. What year did that come? Yates, were you alive when this song came out?
Nah, I don't believe so, nah.
What's crazy to me is, and Key will remember this too, like, I remember a world before rap, right?
I was 2 years old.
It's been multiple generations now that
I was
born
two
into
years
it.
Old.
Like, it's just wild to me, Key, that there's hip hop, there's like songs that are like years before people were born, and those people are now grown ups, right? They're grown people.
Yeah, it goes way back, Max.
It goes way back,
well,
man.
Way back. Wait.
But not even that. So I had this moment with Yates and Pat, who are extremely young, yesterday. When like,
can we define extremely young?
Well, like, Pat's what, 25? So like, and they were singing this song, and it mentioned Lorena Bobbitt. And I was like, do you guys know? Oh. Like, they didn't know who Lorena Bobbitt was,
right,
or the story of Lorena Bobbitt. And like, they didn't realize it was real, or in New York. Right?
Quite the story, Joey
Buttafuoco, and things of that nature.
All over again.
Like, wait, but they were born with Joey Buttafuoco, no?
No, like none of that stuff either. I
just watched another doc on that the other night.
I've always heard Bobbitt name in rap songs.
No,
I'm like, huh?
It's not a weird doc. He just was a creep.
It's like next door. Well, you know why, Jay? It's next door to Forensics
weird
show.
Doc.
That's right next door to Forensics. That's why he watched it.
Yeah, I guess you could call it a weird doc.
Yeah, it's a crime and stuff.
Yeah, it was crime and the setup and the girl tried to. It was wild.
It
was like, dude, and he's out and he's living his normal life and he was talking about it. I was just like. And you're proud of that moment? Like you're sick is what you are. But anyway.
You know, it's funny. I notice people's knowledge of history is weakest when it's the history when they were either very little or right before they were born. Because when, let's say you're like 5, 10 years old, what happened 10 years before that's not really history yet to most people, right? It's not going to be in the history
current
books.
Events, yeah.
People, it's not current events anymore.
Yeah, true.
It's not something you'd ever really read about. And so that's just gone. Like, if I was born in 73, most of my life, if you ask me what happened in, like, the late 60s, early 70s, I know a lot less about that than every other time.
But also now the problem is information overload.
Yeah.
You got too much.
Too much.
You got too much and access to it all the time that you forget what happened last week.
That's why people think that formal education is less important now with all the information. It's actually more important because it's important to be able to structure the way you think to see the signal from the noise, right? You gotta be put on to the signal, like what's actually important.
See, I like to diminish the noise. That's why I'm chilling out. What's the weekend plans this weekend, Key? How you what you got going on?
I'll hang out a little bit this evening, then tomorrow, 3-year-old birthday party. So we got a 3-year-old birthday party, mermaid birthday party.
Okay.
So,
you got a little Halle Berry coming over?
You're dressing up as a mermaid?
No, I'm not dressing up. You know, you hire the people in the bouncy houses and the catering trucks and all the different little stuff.
No,
all
for, the a, three, kids for in the a 3-year-old birthday party?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
Oh, in L.A., they do it, man. They have companies that specialize in that.
Not only that.
We're hiring people?
Yeah.
What?
They hired...
Yeah.
We have to have a... Jay, we went to see the movie... Well,
Jay, it's not even that expensive.
Well, first of all, Jay, first of all, he was like, oh, we're having a mermaid over. So I was like, well, Bailey's coming over? He's like,
Haley
no.
Haley Bailey? Who's that?
The young lady who played the mermaid.
Haley Bailey?
Yeah, it's her daughter.
Yes. It's Max's yet to
Halle Berry's
see it.
Daughter.
Haley is her name?
Yes.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, so she's coming
Max
over?
Max is getting old.
Max
is like, wait, what?
I was like, she's coming over? And he's like, no, like mermaids. And The follow-up
he actually trapped mermaids. Yeah. Key sent an expedition out to bring mermaids back.
Then I asked him just to follow up because I think it's just a legitimate follow-up.
It was a legitimate follow-up.
Is the mermaids, are they going to be black?
Because, and so you know what I said. What the blank you think?
He said, come on, man.
Like, come on. Like,
well, that's where I draw the line.
You're going to ask me if the mermaid is going to be black. Well, here's what I'm going to say.
They just can't be
No, that because the mermaid is black to my child now, period. Mm-hmm. When we went to the movie a couple weeks ago, she was very confused as to why the mermaid was black. She started screaming and hollering that this is not Little Mermaid because the mermaid was black. It calmed down throughout the course of the movie. And since then, it's really calmed down because the educational part of it has started. So now you have to educate and get them to understand. And now they following along the way. You know, that's just how it goes. So, yes,
crazy world,
absolutely.
Huh?
Ain't it?
We're going
best to.
Best
basketball player in the world is white and the mermaid is black. Things have changed over the years.
That's very true to a degree. Yes, the mermaid is black.
I don't know how much I'm expected to believe.
But it's wonderful to see the mermaid look like our children so they can grow up seeing what looks like them and have the opportunity to dream and do all of those sort of
things. Of course. Think about a world where already your daughter is a little upset because she's like, wait a minute, that character that's in popular culture, that's not supposed to look like me. Oh, wait a minute. It can look like
those kind of symbols are important. I can be a mermaid when I grow up. I can be a mermaid. I can do anything.
You know, it's a lot of hustles in the world, right? There's a hustle in New York, the ice cream hustle. Have you seen – you took the kids to the ice cream hustle over on Broadway?
It's oh, yeah.
It's a museum.
Ice cream museum, of course.
It's a cold hustle,
a
right?
Total hustle.
A hustle.
Hustle.
You pay your money, you walk through, blah, 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 see the ice
cream
house.
It's like they climb through a tunnel and something at the end they get some ice cream.
Oh, it's a hustle.
Well, isn't an ice cream museum? It's not like they got the first cone of ice cream there preserved.
And then they
you
give you Jay. Then you get a little sample. You get a little sample on a cone, right? Yeah. So I don't remember how much it was. It might be like $20 or whatever, You know, you got family of five or six. It costs you 100 and some change.
I'm always telling my little one, Key, like, hold on, why do you – because she's still sometimes – I want to go – I'm like, for what?
We
got ice cream right
here. Yeah, it's over. We went once in L.A., once in New York. But here's another hustle that's out there. Barbie has a hustle.
I seen it by Seaport.
Yeah, but they got it in Santa Monica. Hustle. You go to the Barbie Museum. Barbie's the whole deal.
Museum.
Took my kids a couple weeks ago, Jay. It's good for the kids, right? And they got all the different Barbies from back in the day and when it was created. And there was black Barbies in there.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter was like, oh, wow. You know, 2.5, 3 years old. She's like excited about the black Barbie.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And nowadays, it can even all be in the same house. It wasn't like that all the time.
Wait, I have a follow-up question, though.
Don't get yourself in trouble, Max.
These pay mermaids that are coming over, how do they move around?
Don't ask me.
You got
man.
The fin
they,
on.
I think
how
they probably
like,
got the.
You have
got
to understand, Key actually traps real mermaids and brings them back.
Yeah, but they're just hopping around.
I'm sure
the whole
they
time.
Costumes,
hop,
Jay.
They swim. Obviously.
How are you breathing out of the water,
Jay? I'm sure they have the thing where the bottom of it is open, where they can walk around. You don't see it on the fin part of it because you know they have outfits for kids to be able to swim. You know, they got bathing suits like that now.
Yeah, mermaid bathing suits.
Yeah,
yep,
mermaid bathing.
And they have to be safe, obviously. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, but Jay, it's a big thing in LA. They do birthday parties. It's like, I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but it wouldn't break the bank. You just get this company to come over. They inflate the bouncy house, the whole thing. You have a little party in the backyard.
No, it's not a break in the bank.
No, not at all. No,
it doesn't cost.
No, it's not
just a ton of money.
Key's probably is built out of solid gold, but you know, most people, they just bring an inflatable one.
We're having the birthday party, have people over and buy a cake and hang out.
Yeah, with the mermaid.
No.
Run around the backyard.
Like
go play.
Jay,
let's go to the park.
Like that.
We'll bring balloons.
To the park. No, it's at the park. Jay, it's at the park.
Oh, you do it at the park? You don't do it in your backyard?
No, because the park is in our neighborhood, in the community.
I see. Gated and yeah.
I didn't say all that. I just said in the community, there's a giant park.
You think
park.
Key is letting the riffraff in? You're wrong.
But really, how much to get you to dress up like a mermaid, Key?
It would cost a lot of money.
Meantime, your daughters can swim up to you. You're in the pool, whatever, and do ridiculous things to you and put stuff on you for free. You know, that's how it is. Every man's been like, hold on, how did I wind up with a bucket in my head and she put my hair in a braid somehow on the side? And yeah.
So that's my weekend, Jay.
Okay,
that's the weekend.
All right.
Justin in Florida has a question for me before we get into the heat tonight. Go ahead, Justin.
Max, how you doing?
What's going on,
hey,
Justin?
Max, Keyshawn, Jay Will, how you guys doing this morning?
What's up, man?
Good.
Good. Well, we're a kid. Everybody's a kid, and you're shooting a basketball around. You heard people say Jordan when they're taking that last shot, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard people say Kobe taking that last shot, correct?
Sure. Kobe's a big thing.
Now you hear these kids say Steph taking the last shot.
Yep.
Why isn't Kobe in your top tier of all-time NBA players, Max?
Because he doesn't belong there. He belongs in the very next tier with Magic and Bird. He's not like Mike. He's very similar to Michael Jordan.
I know you took that shot at the end and you said Kobe.
Yeah, but that's like fine. That's true. But Kobe is not in any real arguments as the best player of all time. He He's not.
Oh, and come on.
No,
man.
He was lies, 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 no, and more lies.
So I have somebody
exactly.
Here.
Exactly. Lies, lies, lies.
Really? If you did a vote, how many people would say Kobe's the greatest of all time?
A lot of athletes, a lot of NBA players.
Actually, they keep doing the poll, and he winds up with 7% or something, which is.
That's 7%.
You said nobody.
You said nobody.
Okay. Let me rephrase. There's never been a consensus that Kobe is the best player of all time or the second best player of all time, that he was challenging for that top spot. There is a small minority of hardcore Kobe fans who keep his name there, and he's the best approximation of Jordan ever. But there already was a Michael Jordan who was a little better by every measure.
So, I have something for you on the Magic Johnson tip real quick. So at Ice Pick List, okay, said Real J Williams, my father, who is in his 80s, who played at Loyola on scholarship, said back when Magic started all five positions in the NBA Finals, oof, shown on tape delay at 11:30 p.m., that Magic may be the greatest player that ever played the game. I believe others were saying the same as well.
He had, as a rookie, he had the most remarkable performance that, like, no rookie will ever do what he did.
But that's not
the same thing as saying, look, okay, let me rephrase.
But there was a moment in time in which people were saying that Magic –
no, not really.
The greatest
let me just rephrase what I said. We live on a planet with 7 billion people. You will be able to find people who will say anything. I get it. So I can't say
like
no
you.
One ever – obviously, it's hyperbolic to say no one ever said. What I mean is there was nothing ever like a consensus that Magic Johnson was in the debate for the best player who ever lived. Never a consensus – anything like that. There is around LeBron. People want to compare him to Jordan. There is around Jordan, obviously. There was around Bill Russell. There was around Kareem. There was around Wilt. And that was it. No other player was ever really discussed that way by anything resembling a consensus.
You were 10 years old, man. How could you say that there wasn't a consensus around
there,
that?
Key,
how could you say that?
Let's put it this way. If there was, I am unaware of it, and so are you. Okay?
So don't say it then. So don't say it.
To my knowledge, which is extensive, there is nothing like a consensus.
Apparently not extensive enough.
You're saying you can't prove there wasn't. That's not the same thing as saying there was. But I know for a fact there was around the five that I mentioned. Furthermore, if you examine their records, they will support that claim. Bill Russell's championship record, and look at how he played in all the game sevens. He almost never lost a deciding game of anything in his career.
And Magic was a slouch?
What's that?
And
Magic's resume looks pretty good.
No, Magic, I
his
have
resume
the sixth
looks
greatest
damn
player
good.
Who ever
all,
lived.
All we're saying is that Magic belongs in Tier 1.
Then that's does a, Larry Bird?
I would say yes.
And does Kobe Bryant?
Yes.
Okay, let's do this to make everyone happy because I don't care that much about that distinction. Let's move everyone from Bucket 2 into Bucket 1. Keep the list, the order the same, and now we only have two buckets. Is that good? Are you happy now? Because I don't feel like getting bogged down in that. It's not important to me.
But you're getting bogged in it yourself.
Well,
the
because
caller called in
I made a brilliant cutoff point, but no one wants to acknowledge it. So, okay, I don't care.
The fact that the caller called in and questioned why Magic wasn't in, it gets under your skin because you want to be right.
Well, I am
wrong.
Right. It doesn't
you're
want to be right,
so
but I don't
wrong.
Need. But
he just
but,
says
but,
he's
combine,
wrong.
But by the
right
way,
out loud,
combine.
Right.
Do me a favor, guys in graphics. Combine the two buckets, 1 and 2. So now it's one bucket. Just put the list 1 to 14, and then the next bucket, bucket 2, will be the guys you can debate for the 15th.
We'll do that
slot.
And the problem that you're going to have there is the way you numbered it.
That's fine, but my numbers are brilliant. Also, of course, can the Heat even up the series that's coming up, KJM?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by David Dennis Jr., Anscape senior writer. You can follow him at David D. DTSS. Good morning, David.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good, good. So the Nuggets in game three, no teammates in the history of the NBA, three quarters of a century, in the history of the NBA, any regular season game, playoff game, never, had both had a 30-point triple-double. And these two dudes decide to do it in a pivotal game three on the road in the finals. How do you describe that performance?
You just stick it to your guns, man. You're going with the two guys who got you there, and they dominated. I mean, the thing about these Nuggets that we keep doing throughout the playoffs are, you know, crazily insisting that somebody has an answer for this offense. We thought people said the Rui Hachimura thing with the Lakers was going to stop Jokic. They're talking about the zone and turn Jokic into a scorer. But the Nuggets just have too many, you know, answers for that. And what they did was they did more pick and rolls, more dribble handoffs than they'd done at any point in this season. And they dominated by going to the well and relying on their two best players. And that's just one of the best duo performances you'll ever see in the finals.
So, David, yesterday on this show, I said I thought Jimmy Butler buckets failed the Miami Heat in game three. And people took that as like, oh, well, he got them all the way there. I'm like, yeah, I know he got them all the way there. I'm talking about that one individual game. And I'm talking about also like the lack of intensity on the defensive end. In game two, you saw a different sense of urgency from Miami. They were pushing around Denver. They were physically checking them, throwing them off their spots. He was very aggressive with Jamal Murray, picking up him early. In game three, you saw Jamal Murray with a lot more freedom of movement, and he got off for 20 in the first half. And when Jamal Murray gets off, they are a better team because you know what Jokic is going to do. You can't stop Jokic, but you do have a chance to stop Jamal Murray.
Yeah, and that's really where the series is going to land. I mean, the Jimmy Butler, throughout the playoffs, the Heat have won because Jimmy Butler's been the best player on the court for so many games. He's the best player against Giannis for games, best player against that Boston team for a long stretch in that series. He's not going to be the best player at any point in this series on the court. Jokic has that locked down for the rest of the series. But at the very least, you have to be better than Jamal Murray. You have to outplay him. You have to at least make it difficult for him to score. Jokic is going to get his. You have to be the second best player by a wide margin. And right now, he's the third best player on the court, if that, and that is by a wide margin, and the Heat have no chance if that's going to be the case. Mm.
David, saying everything you just said, though, do the Heat have an opportunity to get back in this thing? And I mean by get back because I feel like they're going to lose game four, and they're going to find themselves really in deep water.
Yeah, they lose game four. I mean, this is it for them. I mean, there's no way they're going back to Denver and winning a game if they're down 3-1. I mean, if they lose tonight, they just might want to pack one bag and then, you know, plan for the rest of their vacation. I mean, it's going to be hard to imagine them. The problem is Denver's won four straight road games. The Heat have lost three straight at home. So, I mean, it's going to be an uphill battle. They've got to find those sort of auxiliary players. What Denver was able to do, they were able to sit Michael Porter Jr. down and bring in Brown to come in and replace him and be productive. The Heat had Duncan Robinson get played off the floor, and they have no replacement for them. They're sort of at the ceiling of where they can go with that depth. They just have to play better with who they have on the court, namely with Jimmy Butler.
David Dennis Jr., Anscape senior writer. David, I was talking earlier, and these two got on me. I'm talking about if Jokic and Jamal Murray close out this series, they win, and they continue to play the way they're playing. It doesn't mean 30-point triple-double combined, you know, each of them every game, but you know what I mean. Not in terms of accomplishment over their careers. They don't have the resume that Kareem and Magic and Kobe and Shaq and LeBron and Wade and Jordan and Pippen and all the great pairings. But I would say this ranks among the very greatest dual performances I've seen throughout the playoffs in history. Where would you put this? Like, what is this reminiscent of?
Yeah, this is one of the dominant playoff performances. I mean, going into the finals, Murray was 30 points on 40-50-90 shooting. Jokic was averaging triple-double to play. I mean, this is one of those generational runs with two players. This is reminiscent of Kobe Shaq 2001 type of stuff where you can have one guy take over a series. You know, but this is, again, not to put them in the conversation with those duos, but we're talking singular playoff runs. You have to look at this as one of the best two-man runs, especially big man, little man runs that we've seen.
Agreed. See that? See that? I'm not crazy. See
you,
that?
You just didn't specify.
And
like
not
that
only that, he
said.
Didn't agree with you either, man.
He did. Well, he did. It's like it's reminiscent of Kobe Shaq. That's what I'm thinking. And by the way, like Kobe Shaq, Shaq was going to get
You're
his
right.
every game. But if you could try to limit Kobe, that was your only shot, right? That's what they're doing now. Let's try and at least limit Jamal Murray. Because Jokic, maybe he'll score 40 and we can somehow win. But when Jamal Murray gets his too, it's a wrap. And he's averaging 30 on 40, 50, 90. I didn't even realize that.
David, we had a very interesting discussion yesterday on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and J.J. Redick and myself about if you were starting a team today and you had to pick a center, who would you take? We had our choices from Hakeem Olajuwon to David Robinson to Nikola Jokic, you know, to the likes of Shaq. I'm curious with you because you're a basketball savant. Like, you love this game, you study it. Who would you take and why?
Man, I think I would have to go with Kareem, man. If I'm starting a franchise with anybody, it'd have to be somebody with the most indefensible single shot in NBA history who was, 28 points for 15 years or so in his career, who was also defensively, I think, kind of underrated for the way that he played with some of these offensively explosive teams. So if I'm starting a franchise, especially, you know, we're talking about drafting rookies, I'm going to pick the greatest college player of all time and have him come join my team, and we can, you know, see how many championships we can win with the 15 years of dominance. So I'm starting with Kareem.
Okay, and who would you pick if you had to think about the best offensive skill set from a center position?
I mean, I think Jokic would probably be up there, but I think he's more diverse in terms of that. I think Hakeem is more diverse, but again, I'm going with Kareem because he doesn't need that much diversity in the skill set. He had the single hardest shot to ever defend, so come up with the second best shot when you can stop the first one. And I just think that in terms of somebody who underrated passer, great defender, but also offensively had a shot that nobody could touch and could do it consistently for all those years, I would say Kareem. But I think Olajuwon, in terms of actual footwork, ball handling, moves in the post, I think he's up there also. But I across the board, I think I'm starting things with Kareem.
And plus, man, Olajuwon was
David, Olajuwon every was playing, time you talk NBA and this and that about who you're starting with, if you're not starting with him, then you ain't putting a team together.
Yeah, Kareem is that dude. But a lot, someone like Olajuwon, if they played today, would shoot the three very well. Olajuwon could shoot. So you can't, if you pluck them out of their primes, whoever's the latest is going to be the best.
You take them for whatever you want to take
but
them for. That's why I asked
if
the question.
Shaq were playing today, imagine the freedom he'd have. He wanted to bring the ball up and stuff like that. Like what,
would that
what
take
Giannis
away from
does.
His dominance?
Nah, man, I think Shaq would kill the game. Shaq would kill the game. That is David Dennis Jr., Anscape senior writer. Thank you, David.
All right, David.
All right, D-Babe.
All right, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, Kareem is, if you just say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you never go wrong. Mike McDaniel spoke again yesterday. And
grow up, Pat.
Oh, what's the matter?
Go ahead, Matt.
Call that man D-Baby.
Who? What is Pat talking about?
Bing bong.
It's called David D-Baby.
More KJM coming right up. Sir.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus!
Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. It is time for No Huddle. Nuno.
All right, guys. We're going to start down in Miami. There's going to be two different clips. So we'll start with the first one. And Mike McDaniel was talking about the difference between last year's team at this point and this year's team. Here you go.
If we had time travel available and we'd practice against ourselves from last year, extremely confident that this year's version, 2023, would get the best of them. Goal-oriented team. I've seen people transfer their emotions the right way, which is into their work and into their investment. We have a tight team now because shared sacrifice.
Key, can you explain to us, mere mortals, what Mike McDaniel was talking about there?
Well, a year ago, everything was new. It was uncertain. They were not completely sure of what they were going to get. It was all new. It didn't know the coaching staff, some new players. Now they've been together for a whole year. This is going to be a different team in 2023 opposed to where they were in 2022. Everybody's on the same page again. We're all one tight unit. We're doing dinners together, all of those sort of things.
And also, he's, you know, what's implied is, look, they were 9-8 and could have been better had Tua not gotten hurt last year. They were already good, and you could see they're ascending. And he's saying, and we're better than we were last year, you know. And I understood what he's saying, and he's probably right.
All right. He was also asked about Dalvin Cook, because one of the teams that everyone's saying makes the most sense for Dalvin Cook is the Dolphins. And here he was on those rumors.
March 3rd, 1983. That day I was born, right? Now we take a closer look at that date, and that, in fact, was not yesterday. Okay, so people that are rumored to be tall, short, people that are rumored to be, you're not going to get this guy. I'm year two, okay?
Key, when is his act going to wear out?
Oh, and now he's lost me. I'm like, huh? Well, I didn't even understand. No,
he's trying to say he's not born yesterday. He's not naive. He knows he's not getting them, right?
No, he wasn't going to answer the question and get hit with tampering, that type of thing.
Oh, no, he's not going to get
them. Yeah, but I'm like, I don't even understand what he's saying. We all know that Dalvin Cook most likely will land in Miami if he's free to go, if they release him or trade him. So I really don't know why Coach would say that. But he can't answer the rumors. He can only say he's a really good player. I wish him well, something along those lines. But, you know, he doesn't know how to dance yet. He just doesn't.
Yeah, he's a nerd. I mean, like, let's say what it is. He's a really good football coach, obviously. The dude's a nerd, complete nerd. And that's all right. That's, you know, a lot of nerds run the world, and he's one of them, actually.
Is he really a nerd, though?
Yeah, 100%.
Or is he just playing that way for you?
No, he's a nerd, Key.
I don't know.
Okay, then he's the Robert De Niro of coach actors.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. He wants you to think he's a nerd. He wants you to think that he's extremely
Mission
smart.
Accomplished.
Are we really sure that he's a really good football coach?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm with you, Pat. Are we really sure?
He was an outstanding coordinator who then the first year he's with a team. Now, the big mistake he made is letting Tua back out on the field, but they had a winning season right away.
But that doesn't
probably should have been better than he was.
You know who else had a really good season their first year as head coach? Josh McDaniel and the Denver Broncos. How did that work out?
I understand. You want to see it more.
Let's slow it down from 85 and bring it more to 50.
People like me will sometimes after the fact look foolish because I jumped too early, and people like you at times will look foolish because you waited too long, but you err on the side of caution, and I don't, right? So I get it, but Mike McDaniel is like...
There's another word that you could choose, except he's a really great football coach.
Well, put it this way. Even the way he constructed the roster. Remember when they signed Tyreek Hill, and you were like, hold on, you already got a dude like that. But he had other ideas about how he wanted to work things. Forget about you got someone in the draft like that. He's like, no, I want more speed. And it worked. You know, like he's not thinking like everybody else.
When you,
so
when
far
you
it's
go
working.
Out and you when you go out and you get Tyreek Hill and you pay Tyreek Hill all that money and you give up what you need, what you have to get to give him, to, what you need to give up to get him, you're going to make sure that he excels at the highest level and succeeds. You have to, or else you'll be on the streets with us
for sure. But the team was succeeding too. All right,
yeah, they he got a good team.
All right, I hear what you're saying. You want to see more.
Speaking of success, Andy Reid and the Chiefs visited the White House, and here he is talking about the menu.
I've never had this before, so a French toast, grilled cheese, and ham sandwich that they sprinkled a little bit of powdered sugar on. I mean, it was phenomenal. The guys were, and it was, there was abundance of this. And then they had chicken fingers, exotic chicken fingers to boot. And then maybe the best part was they had, which I hadn't seen before, but little bite-sized squares of the heart of the watermelon. So whoever, you know, my hat went off to the chef. I went back and talked to him. I mean, I just go, you guys are unbelievable. I mean, whoever cut all of that out and had the patience to do that, hat goes off to him.
All right. Key, did you guys not get invited to the White House when you went with the Bucks?
I forgot why we didn't. Something, it was weird. I think we were still, I'm trying to remember, because it was post 9/11, and it was a couple years removed from 9/11, but I think it had something to still do with that to a degree. Yeah, I think that's the reason. I think that was the reason why.
So as the chef of the show, what do you think of that menu? He was talking about exotic chicken fingers, the way the watermelon was cut, just all that stuff. Like, what do you think about that menu?
I think the heart of the watermelon is incredible because that's where the crispy part of it is. I'm not a big watermelon guy, so to speak, on the normal. It has to be with something, like, for me to eat it. Exotic chicken fingers, I'd like to know what he means by exotic chicken fingers. There's a place in L.A., which is a supper club. They have one in Vegas as well, and then Bird Streets, which is a membership club I belong to. The chicken fingers there is ridiculous. Chicken fingers is like, have you ever seen $30 chicken fingers? That's what you're working with. Like $30 chicken fingers.
Got to be the whole arm, the whole wing if it's $30.
And this is sort of, I think, what exotic chicken fingers are. Very expensive.
It's just great listening to a fat guy talk about it, right? Like Andy Reid is like, he goes right for the chicken fingers and the one. He loves it.
You didn't think he was talking about me, Pat. So you can get out my damn ear with that one.
I thought when Max said it's great listening to a fat
guy talking
about
Andy Reid.
I'm certainly talking about me because I'm nowhere near fat.
I'm talking about Andy Reid. He talks about it with a certain pleasure, a certain obvious enthusiasm that, you know, maybe your average person doesn't talk about it with.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Is what he is. He likes to eat.
Yes, he does. And he's not shy about it.
Key, you paid $30 for chicken fingers?
It's a, yeah.
That's way too much.
That's what the cost is at Delilah.
All right.
Hey, Pat, Key can't think of any denomination of money less than $30. You have to understand. That's like a regular dollar to you.
Key, real quick.
Pat, you couldn't get into Delilah's if you wanted to.
What's on the menu tomorrow or for the birthday party? I know it's for kids, but you have adult stuff like that you guys are going to serve tomorrow?
There's pizza for kids and there's like a taco. In fact,
you get a taco
Jorge,
truck.
In fact, Jorge, who is here at 710 ESPN, his family is catering the taco truck.
$90 tacos.
No, it's the best. This thing about birthday parties in LA.
It's the best. What are you talking about?
You get a taco truck to show up at the crib. You get the bouncy house blown up. The backyard turns into a little wonderland. It's the most fun. That's one of the things I miss the most about LA. Because it's not that kind of party in New York at all.
No, it's easy. Taco truck is the easiest thing going.
Oh, it's the best. It's the easiest and the best. And then you get a little ice cream situation going.
You got the ice cream truck
or cotton candy thing.
You got the ice cream truck coming. You got the snow cone or whatever, water ice people coming. Yeah.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised. It doesn't bring, like, you know, it's not like, you know, you got to spend some money, but it's not crazy.
It's not going to burn a hole in your pocket.
It's not. It's really not. It's like going out to, I say it's the equivalent of going out. You take a small family out for two dinners, let's say, and it would pay for the whole party.
And then
like
it'll
that.
Be and then you serve a little Mojito tequila with it, and you're good.
Mm. Nothing wrong with that, Key. I'm jealous. All right. Can the Heat even up the series tonight, KJM?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. J. Will back with us now after taking time out to go viral on Get Up, saying the exact same thing he says on this show for 3-4 hours.
How you doing, Jay?
What you say?
How you doing?
I can't hear you, Key.
How you doing?
Oh, there you go. They had to turn you up. I'm doing all right. I'm doing good.
Yeah, you usually when you go to another show, you come back like it's like Superman.
I get supercharged.
You all tied up, knotted up, and doing the whole deal. I didn't see that today.
No, I just put the jacket over the sweater.
Oh,
over the sweater.
Okay, too. You had the hoodie hanging out the back.
Mm-hmm.
I
had an idea. Wait, Key, I got an idea. What did you just say on Get Up? Just say it here exactly in the same way, and let's see what happens. What did you say on Get Up?
I said that Nikola Jokic, before it's all said and done, would be the best offensively skilled big the game of basketball has ever seen.
Okay.
It's probably already let's see true. If it, okay. Say it again. See. Now say it with your chest right now, and let's see if what happens.
No.
Damn.
Yeah, I want to know though, Jay. So I was watching you yesterday, on Stephen A's First Take, and you and JJ Redick, your law partner, seemed like you were communicating.
Who owns
very
the firm,
well.
Though?
Well, you brought him in. You started the firm.
Yeah, look at that pocket square so crisp.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right? Yep. And it looked like you and JJ, eventually it was J. Will, attorney at law.
Then it's JJJ. That's the, you know.
JJJ, attorney at law.
Yeah.
And you made him a partner. You know, gave him a little equal share. And it looked like you
he
guys
can get into rooms that I can't, so that's why, you know, you got to bring him in.
Yeah, and it looked like you were defending Stephen A. As Stephen A. was sitting up there, it looked like you and JJ
defending him, or they were explaining him the plea deal?
Probably explaining to him the plea deal.
But he's in the islands somewhere with that shirt on, right?
Yeah, the islands. He's hiding out somewhere.
He's hiding
in the
his
islands.
Money. That's
and
where
you
he's,
guys are explaining to him it's probably best to get back to the U.S. soil.
He embezzled
because,
some funds or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it more so looks like we're defending him, and we just found out from the jury that he's been embezzling money, and we're like, what? Wait.
No, I think he's right. I think he's trying to figure out a way to avoid some
Zoom.
Jail time, and you guys are
via
trying
Zoom.
To break him the news or something. I don't
know. Yeah, via
during
Zoom,
the pandemic,
you and
it was via Zoom.
Bring that up again. Do they have the 3-shot of all three of them by any chance?
Well, it was the look when Stephen A. said something that – caught both JJ and myself.
But he's a very relaxed attire, and you guys are all buttoned
on the
up.
Back, it looks like
he's in South Beach. He's just, you know,
no, but it looks like, even though he's in South Beach, it looks like he's somewhere on foreign land, so to speak.
Yes,
somewhere
right.
with
outside
big,
the reach of U.S. law.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Big high rise. Mm-hmm.
He's in the Bahamas with his Bahamas.
Not even.
Account.
No, it's not the Bahamas. It's somewhere else. Mm. I can't quite pin
it's
it
an
down.
Offshore situation.
Yeah,
it's
offshore, offshore situation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somewhere in he's there. He's got the open collar, mm-hmm. and he's listening very intensely mm-hmm. at you and your partner explain to him.
He's in the Cayman Islands offshore. That's where
Cayman
it is.
There's no way around. Offshore, that there's no way out of this one, right, Key? But they thought they got him a good deal.
Yeah, they got him a good deal.
He'd be wise to take it. Yeah,
it's a one of those deals where it's like, look, you can pay the $20 million fine, and we can get you to 2 years, okay, and the 6 years of probation, or you could just do the entire 10. Look at it. There it is. Look at that shot on ESPN right there with us on ESPNU. That's a great shot of Stephen A. trying to explain to you guys why he doesn't want to do it. It wasn't him that did it. And you guys are like, okay, yeah, but
we
they got
you
everything.
Did it. We know you did it. Yes.
We know you did it.
We know these guys. We've worked, you know, they're serious. They have the goods. And
they have
you know.
That's what it looks
they
like.
They looked at I'm intently listening to you, but you're lying directly to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, and the two of you are like, who wants to tell him, right?
Who wants to tell? He has to pay us anyway. You tell him. No, I'm not going to tell him. You tell him. We're going to get fired. Doesn't matter. He's got to pay us.
But wait, Key. Stephen A. says something crazy. So Jay and JJ both have that look on their face, right? In reality, they just found out that he actually did it. And they're like, great.
Yeah.
Now we got to really defend this guy.
Yeah, it so looked like Stephen A. was up to something. But I just thought that was pretty funny. You were so clean, and JJ was clean, and Stephen
A. wearing the
A's
same thing:
clean.
Gray shirt, dark tie, white pocket
sweater. And Stephen A. is normally buttoned up.
We don't want any attention on us since we're representation.
Yeah,
right. Does he normally? He's normally buttoned up.
I mean, well, first off, we're angry at our client because we told them we want it less. Less is more apparel wise, you know. Like, hey, let's not come out and showcase that we have a lot of money and wear flamboyant shirts with the collar popped open. You know, let's be a little bit more buttoned up. So we're a little bit disappointed by the initial, you know, presentation.
And based on, and also on his look though.
Yeah.
He has this look on him as if
tired.
He's like,
he looks tired.
I'm tired dealing with this. I just want to get it over with. And if you guys can make it go away.
I'm not trying to leave where I am right now. Yeah. I'm very comfortable over here.
Look at him.
And like,
I didn't do it.
We're trying to tell him with our eyes, you need to stop talking.
No, I didn't do it. Look, I'm over here with my family.
You're talking yourself into a corner, Key. That's the problem here, Stephen.
Now he's trying to explain to you right there. He's explaining that he did not do it, even though they said he did it. He has it within his right to move money the way he wants to.
Key, Stephen, when you start talking with your hands, you seem like you're trying to hide something.
Hmm. You got to coach him for the witness.
You're hiding something. You're not Italian.
He's going to kill us.
So, Stacy, by the way, let's slip Stacy in here. We got a couple minutes. Stacy from Florida has something I'm sure to tell you, Jay. Go ahead, Stacy.
What's up, Keyshawn? What's up, Jay Will?
What's up, Stacy?
What's up, man? I'm going to say, what's up, Max, like that, because you know he's cutting you off last time.
Get him, Stace. See, Stace, I just want you to know, I'm a fan. I keep picking against you guys, because if that means you guys win, that means you keep calling into the show. We get more content. You're happy, and you give us a lot. So that's what I'm trying to do for you here.
Well, see, I have to do like I did last time. I have to talk trash, because when I talked trash last time, my boys came out and won game two. I didn't call before game three, and they came out, you know, laxy-daisy. I do blame Jimmy, because Jimmy is our super fan, Superman. And we have, you know, our expectations might be a little, you know, unrealistic, because we expect him to play the hardest, to be the fastest, to jump the highest, and do the impossible. And that's what we're going to see tonight. Jimmy, our Superman, he's going to do the impossible. So,
I'm with Stacy.
And thank you, Max, for not cutting me off.
No, Stacy. Stacy, 11 minutes in, we got to get on. You know, we got to get on to the next thing. All right, Stacy, I agree with you meantime. Can the Heat even up this series? The Doc will be in next. KJM, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.